Now, thank you very much for everyone who has come this evening. Nice to see a very nice number on a Sunday evening. And we would welcome you back again Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The gospel will be preached on those nights if the Lord is not come, Lord willing. And Norman Turkington will speak with Brody the rest of the week. And so thank you very much for coming, and there are some listening on Zoom, and we appreciate each one being with us here this evening. So before we read from the Word of God, we're going to speak to him in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy beloved Son, and we thank thee for the message of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so as the gospel will be preached here tonight, we pray that help would be given, that there be those with a listening ear, and that they might heed the message of the gospel, and even tonight have their sins washed away, forgiven in the blood of the Lamb. So bless us here, and in every place where the gospel is being preached, we pray for a similar blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read a story. And if you're not familiar with the story, I want you to pay attention as we are reading, because there's a little twist in the story. Something happens in this story that no one really expected. And that is what we want to speak from this story tonight and present the gospel message. Luke chapter 5, verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law, the religious people, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We can read in another place that he as well was preaching the word. He was preaching and they were listening. Now, we know that we can't preach like the Lord Jesus, but we have his message. Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed. And they look for a way to bring him in and to lay him, the paralyzed man, before the Lord Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop, they went up on top of the roof, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, here is the twist. A paralyzed man. Now, pay attention to the rest of the story, because this is where it gets interesting. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, the paralyzed man, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, these religious people, they were wrong in a lot of things, but in this, they were absolutely right. They heard someone say, your sins be forgiven, and they said, who can forgive sins but God? They were absolutely right, because no one then and no one now can forgive sins except God. So they were right. But when Jesus perceived, when he knew their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What are you thinking about? What is easier to say? Thy sins, your sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? Luckily, they were expecting the man, he was let down, and they were expecting Jesus to say, be healed. They had saw it done before. But that's not what they heard. And so Jesus says, what's easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to rise up and walk? But that ye may know, that you might know, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus says to the paralyzed man, I say unto you, arise, rise up, stand up, and take up your couch, your bed, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up, the paralyzed man stood up in front of them and took up his bed and went to his own house, glorifying or praising God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. God will bless the reading of his word. Just want to look at this little story, a very interesting story, a story I quite enjoy. And here is a man who is paralyzed. We know what a paralyzed person is. I remember when I was in grade 3, there was a boy in our class, and because of an accident at home with a gun, he was paralyzed from his waist down. And we were quite intrigued as just young kids watching him change how he handled life. And I can remember him, he'd be doing push-ups with his hands to strengthen his arms. And he, to this day, he still goes around in a wheelchair. Likely, this man is a man who is paralyzed from his neck down. Our boss at work, he was in an accident a year or so ago, and he was paralyzed from his neck down. He's gained some of his hand mobility, but he is still paralyzed. Well, here is a man, and he is paralyzed. It looks like he is, from what we see, he is totally paralyzed. He is totally helpless. The first thing I want to learn, that I want to point out from this man, is that he is a picture of you and I in our sin. You and I in our sin. Or you think, well, how does a paralyzed man, how can that be a picture of me? Well, the Bible tells us that our sin and our life has really made us like this paralyzed man. That is, we are unable to help ourselves. Spiritually, we are dead. There is no response to God. And here is a man. He is paralyzed. He has a tremendous need. It's a picture of you and your sins. You know, I can remember when I was 15, that I was sitting in a gospel meeting like this. It was in August, not in February. We were in a tent, so it was a little cool in February to be in a tent, but it was just a couple streets over, and I realized that I was helpless in my sin. I never thought of this paralyzed man, but that's what I was like. I realized I was not ready to meet God, and I could not save myself. So here is a paralyzed man, completely helpless. But here is a man, he is helpless, but I want to look at his friends. Here's a man who has friends, 4 friends, we are told. I don't know if it's here, it's in another place for sure. And they were concerned enough about him that they said, we've got to get him to Jesus. Maybe you're wondering why you're here tonight. Maybe you came with your parents. Maybe you're invited out. Not only are you like this man, you're helpless in your sins, but maybe friends have brought you out. You've been invited here because there are people who care about you. This man had 4 friends, and they cared about him. And the house was full, and they tried to get him in. Now, I don't know what we would think. We might be a little concerned if all of a sudden the plaster in the ceiling started to let go and somebody was lowered in with a bed. But if somebody was interested in hearing the gospel, I suppose that'd be all right. We've got some carpenters here. They would fix it up after. Well, here, this is the situation. The house is full. There's no room. And they said, we have to get this man to Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight because there are people and they realize you need to be brought to Jesus. You know, there was no others. There was doctors. They couldn't heal this man. But his friends, they were thinking, if we could get him to Jesus, Jesus is the one, he is the only one who can heal him. And so, their friends, they lower him down. And it says, this is where it gets interesting, Jesus sees their faith. And I've often wondered, I wonder what is going on in this man's mind. To everybody else, it was very obvious. This man is paralyzed. He needs healing. Do you know what? The greatest need that you might have. Maybe you have a cold. Many have cancer. And sometimes we think, this person needs, they need a cure for cancer. This person needs whatever. And when Jesus saw this man being lowered down, you know what caught all the people there by surprise? Is that the Lord Jesus didn't say, man, your paralysis is healed. Stand up, rise up and walk. That's what they expected. The Lord Jesus knew that his need was even more serious than the physical. And tonight, whatever your condition is, whatever your problems you might have in this life, your problems, your greatest problem is like the problem of this man, and no one would understand it like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, everybody else was looking on the outside. But we know from the Bible that God sees in our heart. And the Lord Jesus, as he looked at that man being lowered, he understood this man's problem, greatest problem, is not his body, but is his sins. And tonight, the greatest problem, the greatest concern for you tonight is your sins. If you have been here other nights, maybe this is your first night here. We could take you to the Bible and we could show you that the Bible says that all have sinned. Sometimes maybe we sing hymns, we sing songs, we say words, and maybe you think we're insulting you, saying you're a sinner, and we are only highlighting something that we found out ourselves, that the Bible describes our condition. That you and I, as we are born sinners in God's sight. We have come short. We are short of God's standard. We have something wrong in our heart because of we were born in sin. Because our ancestors, Adam and Eve, they had sinned against God. And that has been passed on right to this day. And so this man, though he was paralyzed, his greatest need was his sin. And maybe he was thinking that. Whatever the case, the Lord Jesus says to this man, your sins are forgiven. And the crowd, you can almost hear the crowd going quiet. Forgive your sins? This man didn't come to get his sins forgiven. This man came to have his body healed. Who is this saying that he can forgive sins? And that was a question that started to go through the crowd. Who can forgive sins but God? That is a good question. They understood if anybody is going to forgive sins, it is only God that can do it. The same holds true tonight. There is no preacher. There is no minister. There is no doctor. There is no priest. There is no person on this earth that can forgive sins. None whatsoever. I don't know exactly what you've been taught, but I know from the Bible that the only one who can forgive sins is God. And so the question, who is this that can forgive sins? You know what they didn't want to admit? It's the same thing today. There were likely those in that crowd, and they understood this man Jesus, he is not like other people, and lots of them would admit that. But many of them did not want to admit, this Jesus, he is the one who is sent from God. He is God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Son of God. God displayed in flesh. God became man, and he came to this earth to dwell amongst men for 30-some years. And he would go to the cross and lay down his life. And so Jesus says, what are you thinking about? What's easier to say? Your sins be forgiven? Or to say, rise up and walk? I want you to think about that tonight. They were expecting the Lord, they were expecting Jesus to say, rise up and walk. But instead, the Lord Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And so Jesus says, what's easier to say? Now, what do you think would be easier tonight? Now, Dale is not here. I was going to ask him for permission to say this, but he is on Zoom. But suppose, you know Dale, he's in a wheelchair. Suppose I said to Dale, Dale, rise up and walk. And you'd say, that is ridiculous. You don't have the power. That's right, I don't. You know what? I don't have the power to tell you that your sins are forgiven. And no other man on earth could tell Dale to rise up and walk. Because no other has that power. The same when it comes to sin. No person on earth can tell you that your sins are forgiven. It's right here. And then Jesus, as he asked them that question, they're likely thinking, well, it'd be easier to say your sins are forgiven than to say rise up and walk. Anybody could say that. Well, stop and think about it this way. For the Lord Jesus to say rise up and walk, do you realize that when the Lord created heaven and earth, all he had to do was speak? Go to Genesis chapter 1 and you'll see that the Lord spake and it was so. He spoke and it was so. He had told other people, be healed, and they were healed. And the Lord Jesus, with one word of his power, could have spoken and that man could be healed. But when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, the Lord Jesus could not just say, your sins are forgiven. You may say, what do you mean? Luckily, when the Lord Jesus utters these words, your sins are forgiven, you know what he is thinking about? The Lord Jesus is very aware that in just 2 or 3 years, he is going to be taken to a cross. And after bearing the humiliation and the cruelty of man, that he himself is going to be nailed on a cross. And beyond the understanding of any of the people that are around, he is going to bear the sin, the punishment of the world. In order for the Lord Jesus to say, your sins are forgiven, the Lord Jesus knew that he was going to the cross to suffer for sin. He could have said, just rise up and walk. Tonight, in order for sins to be forgiven, there needs to be one who will pay the punishment for sin. You know, we most would know, I buy a few cars and I fix them. I bought a car this week. And I went over to pick up the car. Before I could pick up that car, I had to have the paper that said paid. When it comes to sins and sins being forgiven, the only way your sins can be forgiven is that they are paid. Tonight, I want to tell you as I step down, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth. He didn't come here to teach people how to live, although he did that. He didn't come to heal people, just like this man that we're talking about. Because a few minutes after the Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, he tells a man to rise up and walk. And that man, as he picks up his bed and he makes his way home, do you think that he was happy because he wasn't paralyzed anymore? Or did he go away relieved because his sins were forgiven? The man would glorify God and leave that place rejoicing because his sins were forgiven. Tonight we want to tell you that tonight in this meeting, tonight, listening to the word of God, you could know your sins forgiven. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has gone to the Calvary's cross. He has paid the price. Lord Jesus, after he had suffered on the cross, he gave his life. And sin, the payment for sin was made. You know what I am so thankful for? It's hard to do math when you're in front of people. 1988, when I understood that the Lord Jesus, he died for my sins. He was wounded there for my sins. He took the stripes for what I deserved. And because of what he did, I understood that my sins are forgiven. Tonight, this could be written across you. Your sins are forgiven. Why? Because I'm saying that? No. Because Brody? No. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who has given his life. He is the one who has borne the punishment for sin. He is the one who carried out the payment for sin. Tonight, God in heaven is completely satisfied. You know, when I went into the Impact Auction office on Friday morning, and I presented them the paper. I said, here's the bill. And they looked and said, yep, here's your slip. Go out and pick up your car. Tonight, your sins can be forgiven. And it's in this book. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for sin. Sometimes, I think it's right there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you would accept that tonight, you could leave like that man. I don't think that man really cared if he went home not paralyzed or not. He would have been so relieved. My sins are forgiven. I am now prepared for heaven. And you tonight, if you were to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to accept God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, you could leave here tonight with your sins forgiven. What's easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to rise up and walk? The Lord Jesus says that you could know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He could forgive sins 2,000 years ago when he was here. And he can forgive your sins tonight. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.